May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 610. Precious Jesus, friend of sinners, we as such to thee draw near. Let thy spirit now dwell in us, and with love our souls inspire. Fill us with that love which casts out fear. 610.
Thank you.
Let us read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. The Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him, and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honour thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood, and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. May the Lord bless his word and help Dave in prayer.
Oh Lord, how can vile man take thy holy name upon his lips? Oh Lord, we feel like that one of whom we have been reading. Our cry is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, if we look back over the past week, what cause we have to be ashamed. The thoughts and intents of the heart, only evil continually. And can there be a way of hope for such as us? O Lord, we cry unto thee, look upon us in our lowest. Lord, we ask for a free gift, that thou wilt bestow upon us eternal life in thy dear Son, that thou wilt come and show our sins are forgiven, that thou hast laid help upon one that is mighty, that thou hast taken all the burden of our sins, laid them upon the dear Saviour, and that he bore them away as he suffered, bled and died. Lord, is this Jesus our Saviour? This is what we long to know. We hope, some of us can say, we hope we have known thee and the power of thy saving grace in our souls in former times. But Lord, wilt thou revive us again? Wilt thou speak? Wilt thou smile into our souls and remind us of those former blessings and affirm that thou hast still a favour toward us, though we have sorely grieved thee? O Lord, we pray, return. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. It is all in thee, that it is finished and complete, that there is nothing to be added, and nothing for the sinner, the helpless, hapless sinner to do. O Lord, do come, manifest thyself unto us, the revelation of thyself as one who is able to save unto the uttermost, one who has compassion on those that are out of the way. And so our souls would cry, Lord, grant us the breath of living prayer, indicted by the Holy Ghost, and do take our poor prayers and sprinkle them with the precious blood of atonement, that blood that makes our prayers meet to enter into the presence of God. O Lord, remember each one from the youngest to the oldest. We pray that thou wilt draw near to each one. Make thyself precious, as we've been singing, the friend of sinners, the one who saves the lost. We specially pray, Lord, that we may know that gift of grace in thy dear Son, thy eternal favour that will last beyond the grave and land us in heaven above. O Lord, and what a request! And we feel our utter unworthiness of this great thing. But it must be thy free gift. O Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Those souls shall praise thee most and love thee most who have received the most. We read in thy holy word, and we verily believe it to be true. So, Lord, grant us this great blessing. O keep us begging, crying, forever looking unto thee, that thou wilt fulfil our desire and not leave us at the last to perish with the wicked as we deserve. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt come this day, that thou wilt touch hearts and affections might be drawn heavenward, true worship put in our hearts toward the one who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him, to the one who condescended to leave the bright realms of bliss, to come down to earth, to live a righteous life and suffer, bleed and die in the behalf of his people. Lord, art thou my Saviour? And are we thy children? That's our cry unto thee now. O do come. Do speak through thy holy word. Speak through the words of thy servant, preached formerly. And may it be that the word may yet live in our hearts. We meet without thy servant this morning. We remember that the one we originally engaged, thou hast taken to thyself. And we remember those former times when he did come amongst us and the word did flow. And our hearts were up unto thee. And we pray that though thou hast taken him to thyself, yet that thou wilt speak still Help us to remember with thankfulness those former blessings. And Lord, we would remember the widow, Mrs. Broom, and the family, and others that mourn at this time. The one we hope to hear this evening, Lord, he also has lost his mother. Oh, do remember the mourners, and do sanctify what they are passing through to their soul's eternal good. And so, Lord, we would pray that as thy servant comes among us this evening, thou wilt grant him much help, and that the word may be with power and with the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, and that we might be brought humbly to the foot of the cross, there to fix our hopes on one that died. Help our brother to read to us this morning. We do pray that that which thou hast sent him with may prove to be of the Holy Ghost and for the good of never dying souls. And though it be read to us and not preached for the first time, yet, Lord, thou art able to give all power to it. We pray that we may find food for our souls. Do remember cases amongst us this morning, Lord. Thou knowest how each one has come up into the house of prayer. Those that are secretly mourning over their sins and are brought very low. Those that feel to be out of the secret. Those who are walking through deep providential trials and there seems no end. Lord, in mercy appear to each one, and do grant that this day, as they meet in thy house, there may be a word in season, a word to encourage them to press on, looking unto Jesus. For all power is given unto thee in heaven and in earth. We especially pray for our little ones. Lord, do keep them, do watch over them, do guide them by thy Spirit. And we pray that thou wilt quicken them into life and lead them in the way everlasting. We pray for those who as yet know thee not, to whom the name of Jesus is a stranger. Lord, if mercy open eyes. We have read of Bartimaeus, thou didst open his eyes. Open the eyes of our souls, Lord, that we may behold thee, that we may behold thee as a mighty Saviour, that we may behold thee as the only one who is able to deliver from eternal death. And oh, we pray, prepare each one of us for that great and awful day when we must pass from time into eternity and stand before thy judgment seat. Oh, do grant that in that great day we may hear that voice of one we know saying, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." O Lord, we know that thou dost know thine own, and we believe that they know thee also, and love thee too. Remember our nation, Lord. We oft cry unto thee on account of the awful things done in our nation. but is not all power with thee. The power to turn hearts and minds. The power to bring forth good from what seems to be so evil. Lord, it is all in thy divine power. And within thy divine purposes, we would humble ourselves and confess before thee that we have not been concerned as we should have been, and we have not made our prayer unto thee as we ought to have done. But now we come to this awful pass. O Lord, can it please thee, appear for thy elect's sake, for the few that sigh and groan on account of the abominations done in the land, Lord, and for thy great glory. O, show forth thy mighty power. Turn the hearts of men. Lord, turn those things which are not as they should be. Restore, we pray unto thee, the sanctity of thy holy day, if it might please thee. Bring back, Lord, the reverence for thy holy word. And do we ask great things? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Lord, we could pray that about so many things that we have asked this morning. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Show forth thy power and thy glory. Show forth that thou art God alone. That there is a God in heaven, and that thou dost laugh at the wicked, and that at the end it will be known that thou dost omnipotent reign. Lord, pardon us in the things that we ask amiss. Do appear now, be with our brother. Help us as we sing together. May we sing with the heart and with the understanding. But, O Lord, grant thy presence. Leave us not, nor forsake us. O God of our salvation, we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1088. Shepherd divine, our wants relieve in this our evil day. To all thy tempted followers give the power to trust and pray. 1088.
Thank you.
I will try, with the Lord's help, to read a sermon preached by Mr. Popham. You will find the text in the chapter we read in the first verse. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That is the teaching of this parable, that men should always pray and not faint. Whatever the difficulties may be with which they are at times confronted, the parable says, go on praying. You pray to God, omnipotent, omniscient, kind, loving, wise and faithful. He has at his command heaven and earth, but he does not measure as we do. Time with us is important. The lapse of time may apparently again and again seem to us that it is too late. Some circumstances may seem to say to us that the thing is beyond hope. Do not continue praying. But, says the Saviour, go on. The parable says that there was a judge, harsh, selfish, sordid, loving ease, and a poor widow comes to him and lays her case before him. But he takes no notice of it. But she, having a real case, and needing that case to be attended to, was not put off by this unjust judge's silence. So she presses the case. She urges it, comes to him day after day, and says, I have an adversary. Will you take the case up? At last, wearied by her perpetual visits, her persistence in the matter, he says, I do not fear God, I do not care for men, but the trouble this widow is giving me moves me to look into her case. That is the parable. The result of it is, the attention of it is, that God's people who cry night and day unto him should go on praying. Whatever appearances there may be against that exercise, continue in it. Nobody will say it's easy who has the exercise in their heart. Why should we go on praying? Why? Because Christ says we should. That were enough if he spoke nothing else. If he said men should pray always, I am the Lord, that were enough. The Lord's word is a great word, full of authority, full of wisdom, full of goodness, always kind. He says, go on praying. This word may try some poor people. They may say, we cease to pray very often, so often that we wonder at times if we pray at all. Slackness in prayer often may beget questions in an honest conscience as to whether there is any real prayer. Still, Christ says, pray on, cease not. But I get no answers. He may be bearing long with you. He may be saying that he has always seen that you need more discipline, more emptying, that you need to be weakened more, that you need to lean less to your own understanding, to which he sees you are very prone. Our time is always ready. His time often is not yet. Why should we pray? Pray without ceasing. Because he is the great object, the great object of worship. He is a full Christ, an able, willing Saviour. He possesses all grace. His Father gave it to him before the world began. He is full of compassion. He is an effectual intercessor. His intercession is always prevalent. He is too wise to err, too wise to let a poor fainting sinner utterly faint. He gives out a little strength. He puts in a who can tell occasionally. We ought always to pray because of the person to whom we pray. Think of him, O sinner. Think of him. We should pray because it is an appointed means of becoming acquainted with God. We are not much acquainted with him. The best saint here is not much acquainted with him. But the more prayer there is, the more acquaintance with him will come sooner or later. We are very familiar with self, a wretched thing, a wicked thing, but we are very familiar with self. Oh, it were well for us to become more familiar with God. We should pray because he says, "Come to the throne of grace, the mercy seat, and I will meet with thee there." Oh, what a promise! I will meet with thee there, the appointed place. There is a king, must be a king, where there is a throne. There is a fullness. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in him. There is knowledge in him, wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. And I have riches, durable riches and righteousness, and I fill the treasures of all who come to me. We should pray because there is an end. The end is an answer. No man ever prayed in the Holy Ghost and missed an answer. Many a saint has had to wait long for the answer, but no saint ever died without an answer to a prayer the Holy Ghost indicted in his heart. We should always pray, notwithstanding the depressing, sinking, discouraging sense of the demerit of our nature and of our conduct. That demerit may be as a mountain before us sometimes, but faith in the Saviour will say in the heart of a sinner, "There is infinite merit in the person of Christ. Infinite merit in the person of Christ." Consider his person. He is God. He is man. He is one person, the infinitely blessed Son of God and the blessed Son of Man in time. And these two natures are united, and they constitute in their union Emmanuel. In Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Jesus is all the fullness of God's good pleasure, the good will of him that dwelt in the bush. What a person! And consider the infinite merit of his work on the cross, when he offered himself without spot to God. Therefore, let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. This he gives you, 'tis the Spirit's rising beam. Prayer. What is it? Not a form of words, not an ability to speak before and among men in prayer. It is the fruit of the motion and teaching and inspiration and power of the Holy Ghost. And so a sigh, a sob that never found utterance, reaches the ear of God. being winged and strengthened by the operation of the Holy Ghost. Be more careful about your spirit in prayer than you are about your words. You are gifted, perhaps, to speak profitably among the saints in prayer, but prayer in the Spirit, as Jude speaks, praying in the Holy Ghost, that is effectual. What is prayer? It is the heart telling God what is needed, what the sinner feels to need. Oh, it is a great thing to speak honestly when you are on your knees. It is a great thing to speak honestly when you are confessing your sins. Men may be very proud of saying some things about themselves, calling themselves bad names and all kinds of things, and may do so in a prayer meeting, that they may be seen of men, and they get their reward. The publican's case is very instructive. He had not courage to talk. He had not strength to lift his eyes up unto heaven. He had got a pain, a burden, and a sorrow. He had got guilt on his conscience. And so, smiting on his breast, he said, perhaps audibly, perhaps not, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Prayer is laying a case before God with its aggravations. It is confessing the demerit of original sin as in our nature. It is adoring the infinite God. It is justifying him in what he says against us. It is clearing him when he speaks against us. It is admiring his glory. It is asking for bread and for water and for salvation. Oh, it's a great thing to pray. One of the first words of commendation, if you take it, that God uttered concerning Saul of Tarsus was this: behold, he prayeth. A great word to us. How many in this congregation could look for the Lord Jesus to say such a word? Behold, he prayeth. He sees you behind the hedge, in your bedroom, in your office, wherever you are. And oh, if he only can say that sinner prays, the Spirit is in him. Who knows? Who can express how pleased the Lord is with men when they pray? There are definite things before sinners when they pray in the Holy Ghost, and you have one of them in the Psalms, to which I would specially draw your attention. With the Lord there is forgiveness that he may be feared. One of the most encouraging things a sinner can get when seeking the face of God is to find that he believes he is capable of being saved. Who doubts that, says one? Well, God knows who believes it. God knows who believes it to his encouragement and strengthening. It is a great thing, really, to believe in the infinite merit of the Lord Jesus. I am disposed to repeat a word I said here last Friday at the prayer meeting. I remark that some may feel and say that their convictions of sin are not sufficiently deep. And my remark was this, that it is good to feel more after union with Christ than to be bemoaning the lack of conviction of sin. I do not mean that it is not good to have conviction of sin, but it seems that it is a great thing and gives a point and edge to prayer when a sinner has before him the blessing of union with the Lord Jesus. And when that union is realized, it gives deeper conviction than anything else. It produces the sweetest contrition, the most evangelical repentance that men ever get in this world. And that object is before faith, I in them. Oh, to be praying for that. If you carefully read the scriptures, you will see that the Trinity dwells in sinners, the people of God. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians that the Father should say to his people that he will receive them and walk in them and dwell in them. Is that before you? It is a great thing to be seeking the indwelling of God the Father. It is written concerning the Son in the prayer of the Apostle Paul that Christ might dwell in the saints. It is written to the Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the mystery which God had hidden from ages and from generations. Is that before you, the coming of Christ into the soul? It is written, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Holy Ghost dwelleth in you? Take this, dear friends, and see if you have ever had that mystery, that mercy seat before you, the indwelling of the Trinity. I in them, says the Saviour, and thou in me. And when Philip, hearing that Christ was going to the Father, said to Christ, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us, says Christ in answer, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father also. And if you hold the Son, you have the Father. But I cannot reach that, says one. I did not say you could. Neither does the scripture say so. But it does say this, that this blessing can come to you, that it is a matter of revelation, a matter of infinite stoop, a matter of kindness of the Holy Spirit in making known God, in glorifying Christ and coming to himself. Prayer is concerned about this indwelling of the Trinity. The difficulty of prayer is more or less distinct in the context. Here is a widow, and she is injured, and she seeks justice at the hand of him who ought to give it to her. But he delays. He is idle. He is sordid. He is selfish. He does not care about her at all. And all that he does when he arises is out of a selfish motive. There are difficulties. There is injustice. There is much trouble for the saints of God. I have mine, you have yours. Two enemies are always inflicting some injustice upon us, sin and the devil. Hart expresses it about sin. Say to that ugly jailer, sin, loose him and let him go. And perhaps you may say sometimes, Lord, I am held by the jailer of a worldly spirit. Or one says, a proud, obdurate heart holds me fast. Another says, I am carnal, sold under sin. And the ties of nature say, bind him to the earth. And you are injured, hurt, wronged. Wronged, yes, because being a child of promise, a child of grace, a child of God, what has sin to do with you? Oh, seek the redress that alone is in the heart and hand of Jesus Christ. And the devil, he is always seeking to hurt us and wrong us, the God of this world. Now he thrusts in some infidel thought. Now he sets some little bit of tinsel and dangles it before our silly eyes. And now he seeks to drive us from our knees, And again he seeks to discredit the scriptures. Who can tell but the people who suffer so what it is to be afflicted in this way? And what is the remedy? Prayer. Covenant blessings are promised. They are promised to prayer. For these things will I be inquired of by the house of Israel to do them for them. Pray if thou canst or canst not speak, but pray with faith in Jesus' name. Go on, my friends. You may get rid of many troubles, of all these hurtful enemies that are always like a maul on your spirit, a bar in your way, a hindrance to your heart and conscience. These more or less actively, powerfully, will be with you till you get to your dying bed and take your last breath. Pray always and faint not. Oh, what a mercy it is to be enabled to pray against this dreadful thing called by Paul the body of sin and death. Who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? It is called a body to show the reality of it, of sin and death to show the quality of it. Now, says Paul, when having prayed that prayer, I thank God through Jesus Christ. He is my deliverer. In him I hope. I thank God and thank him for teaching me to make a distinction between sin in me and my living in sin, between sin in me and my being a servant of sin. There is a distinction, and Paul was instructed in it. Sin was in him like a corrupt dead body tied on his back, but it was not part of himself. It was not with his consent that it was there. And so the distinction is sometimes opened by the Holy Spirit, enabling the afflicted soul to say, "It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Now he says, "With my mind, I, regenerated soul, Paul the Apostle, a true Christian man, serve God. I serve him in my thoughts and my prayers and my love. I cleave to Christ crucified and glory in none beside. With my mind, I serve the law of God." Perhaps some of us rightly feel that we know very little of this. Well then, says Christ, pray, pray. And what about the persistent and insistent devil? Oh, says the Saviour, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And I believe the same sight is reserved for every praying sinner. One day, God will bruise Satan under the feet of all his people. On an occasion, Joshua called for all Israel and the captains of Israel, and there were five kings captive before Joshua. And Joshua said to the captains, "Come and put your feet on the necks of these kings." And the day is coming when Christ will say to his people, "Put the foot of your faith on the neck of the devil." God shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. It is sure to come. You have it in Isaiah, where we are told that God trod down and brought down to the ground, even to the dust, the lofty city. The lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. And then what? Oh, he says, the foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. Men should pray always. They ought to pray always and not to faint. A few words respecting providential things. If we are led to manage our things on our knees, we shall come off well. Many and many a soul has got great good out of temporal troubles. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. He makes the greatest speed, gets on the best, who travels in such and such cases on his knees, so to express it. Take your cases, your troubles. He says, the Lord shall avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. You may have a trouble that God has given you to carry, and you are to carry it to your grave. Well, you may get deliverances in respect of that trouble, even grace to say respecting it, thy will be done. Oh, many and many a time the Lord, who does not see fit to take some trouble away, says, I will give you strength to bear it. We have this in the case of the apostle himself, who with the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him, went thrice to the Lord to get that thorn removed. It was not a bit of a thorn such as we get, but a long, piercing thorn, sticking fast. And he got deliverance. He got distinct deliverance, not by the extraction of the thorn, but by having grace to bear it. My grace is sufficient for thee. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, it is a great thing to get that. What trouble have you? You need not tie it on your coat sleeve and carry it about that everybody may see and read it. It is quite enough if you can take it to the Lord. Though there are troubles which the people of God have, which it is good for them to let their friends know about, that they may pray for them. When you have friends, do let them know if you are in trouble. If it is a proper thing to speak about, that they may, by God's help, pray for you. Paul said to his people, Brethren, pray for us. We need to pray with respect to temporal troubles, either for deliverance, clean out gates from them, or submission to the will of God. This praying is to go on. It is not the labour for a day, but for the life. It is to continue. Pray without ceasing. It means the need won't cease, the work burden won't be taken off, the concern won't die, the desire to know the Lord won't die, the desire to be united to him more closely and have more fellowship with him and to be receiving more grace from him won't die. The desire to walk in Christ's word, growing grace, won't die. As long as the need continues, so will prayer continue. It is a necessity. It is an obligation. It is God's way. He has appointed it. He intends that his people shall come. He loves to see them at his throne and to hear them speak. My dove, says he, that art in the clefts of the rock, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. What an ugly, deformed, loathsome person was the Pharisee when he was strutting before the Lord as if he were somebody and had done something. What a beautiful creature was that sinful man who could not bear himself and had to cry with pain and grief and shame, smiting on his breast the while, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Wait on him. Some people boast of getting out of the 7th chapter of Romans into the 8th. it would be well for them to consider that when that part of the scripture was written, there was not an eighth chapter following the seventh. It was one scroll. The distinction and division of the scriptures into chapters does not mean a difference and a distinction in experience. The distinction and division of the scriptures into chapters is modern and convenient, but the doctrine of the scripture is one, and the conflict in the seventh carries on into the eighth. For in the eighth chapter, Paul says, "If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." And mortifying the deeds of the body is killing them, and that is a constant matter. And again in the eighth chapter he says, "We groan, we are in trouble, we live in hope, we are saved by hope, but we are in trouble." Men ought always to pray. You will never get away from it if the Holy Ghost is in you. You will be at it all your days because you will have need as long as you live. Therefore, may the Lord help you and me with you to walk in this scripture. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. May the parable instruct us. May the Spirit of God bring the need of it into our heart and help us to wait on Him. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £541.20, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Jim Ince will preach this evening and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And Mr. Wheatley will preach tomorrow at our anniversary services at 3 o'clock and 6:15. Tea will be provided and collections taken for our Needy Cases Fund. Next Lord's Day, God willing, there'll be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Tim Parrish will preach in the evening. And we hope to hold a church meeting on Friday evening this week. Let us close with hymn 1070. Thou friend of friendless sinners hear, and magnify thy grace divine. Pardon a worm that would draw near, that would his heart to thee resign. A worm by self and sin oppressed, that pants to reach thy promised rest. Hymn 1070.
notice that. Oh, Timothy. Lord, how did it? Grant us our submission to my mind and Lord, how we do cry. And may it be those things so which we pray for. As we have on Friday and we come to God. Oh, do grant it we to be those hands we part of. Pray that they will gather with the children this afternoon. Lord, do grant there may be something sown in their young lives. Help those who teach. Lord, may there be that bread cast upon the Lord to be found after me. Oh, do pray that they will come out with thy servants. Lord, do be with him in his bereavement of his mother. Pray that thou so help him to Lord, do give him heart to bring me. Oh, may it be, Lord, that our time given. Help one on tomorrow too. Lord, as these, my servants have filled these engagements, Lord, may it prove to them thy help. Oh, that thou so bless them. Lord, may there be a flowing to from service this Lord, do help each of my servants this may it be a good day. Lord, do help us to truly worship. May we be in the spirit of the Lord. Do forgive our every sin. May God let me so. We would ask for Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus.